I wondered how I was going to do this today. I have preached one time since I departed from here to be the director of missions. And there's lots of people don't know who I am, but I'm Bradley James. I was the associate pastor here with youth responsibilities, and now I've in a different adventure that the Lord has moved me to. But Brother David, I get to do this in multiple churches. As I go, I've preached in a couple of different places since I left here, and then just visited a lot of our churches in our association. There's 25 that are gathering today at different places at different times, and we just praise the Lord for that. And where two or more are gathered, there He is in the midst. And you can feel the Spirit here this morning, but I felt the Spirit in multiple places as I travel around the county. And literally, Lickley County's a big place, by the way. If you didn't know that, I knew that because I used to work for County Road and Bridge. I drove the dump truck many a miles and rode the grader, even worse than that. It's a lot slower process, I'll tell you for sure, around the county. But just to go to our churches and meet new people, the only drawback is that Bradley's not good with names, and I meet lots and lots of new people. So I see people in Walmart and think, oh my goodness, I know that person, because I'm really good with faces, not so good with names. Okay, so just pray for me in that. But since Pastor David is a little under the weather, that's the way he put it today. I talked to him this morning just a little bit. He's doing somewhat better, but just continue to pray for him. So you have to put up with me today. And we're going to be in John chapter 15 because he gave me no direction. So I told the prayer breakfast or our prayer breakfast meeting yesterday, I've been going through a study that I started many years ago when I first became a pastor, and it's called Master Life. And it's a very enlightening study. It's very challenging. You're supposed to learn verses as you go. And this is one of the verses in John 15, verse 5. And we're going to try to cover John 15, 1 through 8 today. And as I was thinking about preparing for this, this is the last place in John where you have the last I am statement. But I wanted to go back just for a second and pick your brain. And I don't even care if you yell it out. You can be the youth group today, okay? So, Jesus said this six other times throughout the book of John from 15. So just give me one that you remember. The light of the world. The way, the truth, the life. I was serious about hollering it out, guys. I am the door, the gate, right? Just I am. He did say that. I and my Father are one. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I'm the resurrection and the life. Every time he says that, guys, you can find a reference where God is trying to lead his people. Right? When you talk about the bread of life, the Old Testament had the bread from heaven. And the religious leaders actually asked him to produce that for them. And he kind of did in a way. He fed 5,000 and then he fed 4,000, not counting women and children. But they wanted more. I am the light of the world. What did they follow out of Egypt? A cloud, a pillar by day and a light or a fire by night, right? I am the light of the world. I am the gate. He's the only way that we can get to heaven. He's the only way that we can experience eternal life. And that life begins when we get saved. Jesus said, you must be born again. And when we are born again, we've walked through that gate. He also says, I am the good shepherd, because he was trying to gather people to believe in what he was teaching, because he knew the scriptures. He was the scriptures. He was the word. I am the resurrection and the life. How many people did he raise from the dead? We know, I know of three right off the top of my head, but we probably don't have them all. He almost completely done away with disease and sickness in Israel when he walked up on this earth. And the last one, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. There's no other way. So turn in your Bibles today to John 15, 1 through 8. He says there, he said, I am the true vine. Pay attention right there. I am the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you that you tell us in your word to come boldly before your throne. Father, that we can come because Jesus prepared the way for a sinful man like me to be called righteous and holy. And Father, set apart for your purpose. And Father, we can live our lives according to that plan when we abide in your vine, when we abide in Jesus Christ, when we make him the center of our lives. Lord, I just pray for today as we look at what the Father does, what Jesus provides, what the Father does, and what it will provide for this world. And Father, I just pray, Lord God, as we go through this today, I just pray that you would just guide and direct me. I pray that I would just speak your word. Father, I pray that we would have ears to hear and eyes to see. Father, to respond to the call that you've put up on people's lives. Father, each and every one of us is in a different place in our spiritual life, and each and every one of us can respond and take it from here and use it this week. That's what we're supposed to do. Father, we're supposed to take this word today and go from here and encourage others. And Father, produce the fruit that you've put in our hearts. And not all of us will produce the same fruit. It'll all be different. But Father, it's all because of you, because of what you've done for us. And Father, you empower us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. You know, Jesus was in the upper room or just leaving the upper room and talking to his disciples. This is his last night with them in this passage of scripture. So, you know, he's trying to prepare them for the rest of their life without him being there physically. And he knew he was going to appear to them again, and they understood. But guys, I want you to get in the mindset of who we are and how fickle we are sometimes to say that we believe something, but yet we question and we question. And I've questioned a lot of things in my life about scripture, about all kinds of different things in my life, what I should be doing with my life. Jesus said he was the true vine, and I directed your attention to that because as he prepares his disciples, Israel was compared to a vine in the Old Testament, and that's the Bible they had. And if they were reading the Old Testament, you can read in Isaiah, in Psalms 80 verse 8 and 9, it says there that you have brought a vine out of Egypt. Look what the psalmist is doing. He's calling their attention back to their deliverance. I have called a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations. Remember what they done? They went into the promised land and they got rid of everything, everybody. That was their mission. That was God's judgment on those nations because they were sinful nations. Sometimes God uses nations to judge nations, right? You prepared room for it. You caused it to take deep root. And you filled the land and it filled the land. Think about that. There is no other place. God used the psalmist here to speak to the people of Israel, and he's comparing them to a vine. Why? Because he had a plan to evangelize that nation with Israel. But they failed. They sinned. They become conceited. They become self-sufficient. They didn't need anybody else, and they didn't really even need God because they had it figured out. God had planted them there, provided everything for them, and he warned them and warned them and warned them about falling away. But they're still God's chosen people. And if you go to Isaiah 5:1-7, and I thought about this. Steve, you want to come back up here? Let's just sing the rest of my sermon, right? Because in Isaiah 5:1-7, the prophet actually sung his message to the people of Israel. Now that would get your attention if I started singing. Right? Especially trying to do it a cappella and trying to put it into words. That would get your attention. Matter of fact, you would probably not last very long sitting here. And I wouldn't expect you to. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 5:4. What more could I have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? See, they wasn't producing the things that God wanted them to produce. They produced what they wanted, not what God wanted. And the reason Jesus said, I am the true vine, is because of this passage right here, because he was who the Father was going to put everything upon, everything, all your sins, all my sins, he's going to provide a way for you and I to the Father. You know, Jesus even spoke about, told us in the parable of the vineyard in Matthew 21:33-44, and scholars believe he's referring back to passages that talk about Israel being a vine that he had planted. He says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. So here's the point. The path of God doesn't go through the nation of Israel. It goes through Jesus Christ. You don't need to become a citizen of Israel to be right with God. You need to become a disciple of Jesus, and don't worry about being in Israel. Instead, worry about being in Jesus. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way that you can go. And the religious leaders was so against Jesus because it was taking away what they knew. It was taking away their jobs of being priest to shepherd people. It was taking away their livelihood. It was taking away the fact that he done away with all their oral traditions. What if Christ came into your life and said, you got to change this, this, and this? And that's what he does, folks. Whether we give it up or not is up to us. Okay? He says, So if you would ask a Pharisee at that point how to be right with God, this is what they would have said. You've got to get circumcised. You've got to take of the feast. You've got to come to Israel once a year. You've got to do all these things to become right with God in their eyes. And every one of them would have told you that. But what does God say? He says believe. Jesus says to believe. But once you believe, once you've confessed your sins, once you have asked him and invited him to be ruler of your life, then you turn away from the things that you know that are against him. Our second point, I just started going, I'm sorry, that's the way I preach most of the time, but the second point of this is the vine dresser purges the branches. That's what our scripture says today. He does one of two things. God the Father. So Jesus is the vine. God the Father is the vine dresser. And I use King James because when I learned this in Master Life, I memorized everything in this chapter that I've learned in the New King James. So when I read out of the CSV, it messes with my brain. And I don't like my brain to be messed with when I'm up here, so I put everything in the King James, New King James today. Not the old King James, but the New King James. It says in verse 2 of chapter 15, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. I want you to think about who they're talking to here. Jesus is talking to his disciples who had just left. Judas, right? He had been taken away. Jesus told John, Peter motioned to John. John asked Jesus, he said, who's going to betray you? Who's going to betray you? And Jesus said, it's the one who dips his bread in the cup with me, right? And if they would have been paying attention, they wouldn't have been asking, is it me, Lord? Is it me? But see, the point is, every one of them, as they examined their lives, they were afraid that they might deny him. They was afraid that they might be the one, the traitor of the group. Nobody suspected it was Judas. You may be sitting here this morning. So I say that to say this. You may be sitting here this morning and you can put on an act, because that's what Judas actually did. He acted like a Christian or acted like a disciple for 3.5 years. And nobody suspected that he wasn't. That's scary to me. So scary, because his life was separated from God in that act, because he blasphemed against the Holy Spirit of God when he dipped that morsel of bread and Satan, the Bible says, indwelt him. What about you? What about you? I'm not your judge. I can be a fruit inspector, but not your judge. But this verse says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And we see in John 13, we see Judas leaving the true vine for the things of the world, for the riches that he could gain. And we get so blinded by this world. And there's lots of shiny things out there in this world. There's lots of things that catch our attention. There's lots of things in this world that would draw us away, that Satan would have us look at so that we would be drawn away and enticed, as James puts it. James said it this way. See, they couldn't tell. They didn't expect Judas to be the traitor. But could they? Was they really looking for the fruit that they needed to be looking for? James 2:26 says it like this. It says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. See, that's what Judas had done. He had deceived himself into thinking that as long as he hung out, he was taking money from the bag, from the treasury of the Lord. Can you imagine doing that? I'm trusting you with this money. When we go to Africa, we have somebody most of the time. Dale and I have done this several times. One of us is usually carrying a little bit more money than the other. You don't want to base everything on one person, right? Because what if that guy gets knocked in the head and you're not, you know, you might need some money, but there's one of us that's got more money than the other one when we go to Africa. But Judas was taking care of it all. And the disciples was none the wiser that he was taking things for himself. But he had his eyes on the prize of the physical things that he could gain. And he stayed up until the very end, but he never believed in Jesus Christ. He was never a true believer in Jesus. You know, he went out with the 12, yes. Did he do any miracles? We're not told of anything that Judas done. It just says they healed, but they was in pairs. I don't know whether, I'm not saying he didn't, and I'm not saying he did, because that's a gray area in scripture, but I'm telling you, he had the disciples fooled of who he was. Okay? It says, be doers of the word. And he had deceived himself. For if one is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. So how do I know that I'm a born again believer in Jesus Christ? Because I've continued in it for the last 40 years of my life. 44 to be exact, if you want me to do the math. Okay? But 44 years, I've thought, was there ever any doubts? Oh, absolutely. And I've told you about the doubts that I have had. But it was really the way I read scripture. Okay? And I wasn't studied like I should have been. But he who looks in the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. James says we've got to be doing what God tells us to do. And if you only come to church and you never let it affect your life any other way, if you're willing to lie on your taxes, that's a question in my book. I'm sorry. Jesus said to render to Caesar what is Caesar's. It's almost tax season. I hate tax season because I always end up paying the tax man. Okay? But it says that. If you're willing to shade the truth to benefit yourself, might want to question. Are you just a hearer sitting in the pew today because you're checking the box? See, I don't want to ever be that. And I ask the Lord to help me each and every day. And sometimes Bradley gets all worked up. Even a basketball goal can make me get all worked up. I was trying to put together a basketball goal for my grandson. Hoo-wee. Instructions are not good. Jesus' instructions are usually pretty clear, but their pictures and their instructions not so much. I still ain't got it put together, by the way, but I about lost everything there. I had to pray and I had to say I was sorry. There's a favorite word that I like to use, and it's not too bad a word, but it's a word that I like to use when I'm aggravated. And I used it a couple of times in front of my grandson. I had to apologize to him, and then I had to apologize to Jesus. And I said both of those out loud because I needed to say it out loud. Guys, we've got to be doers of the word. We've got to be doers. How do I know if I'm continuing in his word? Was there a point when you asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life? Okay? Have you continued? Or you, if you've done like me, I'm going this way, Lord. I'm trusting you. And then you think, but this really looks good over here. Oh man, but that's against God. I got to turn back around. I got to confess. Got to go back the other way. And you do that over and over and over and over again. I'm going to do it till I die. And then when I die, I'm going to be made totally righteous, totally holy, without any question that I can stand in God's presence because of Jesus Christ. That's the way it works. He says he takes away the branches and he prunes the branches. So let me talk about pruning a little bit. How many of you like pain? There's not a one of us here that like it. I don't inflict pain on myself on purpose. But God will prune us. He will discipline us. Let's look at verse 2 again. He says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, so there's fruit. So every believer, every disciple of Jesus ought to bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, there's something wrong with your relationship with Jesus. Are you a believer? Because the devil, the demons believe in Jesus. We see it over and over and over again in scripture that they confess who he is and Jesus says, shut up. I don't need your worship because you're just trying to get control over me. They confess who he is and he tells them to be quiet. If we can just say that I'm a Christian, that I believe in Jesus, if I'm banking it on the fact of my baptism and I'm not staying the course or I'm not turning away from my sins. Guys, that's road signs. That's warning signs that we need to go back the other way. I turned on a street the other day and it said closed. I thought, well, I wonder where it's closed at. Well, I didn't drive very far until I figured it out. It was further. I needed to go around the other way because it was really closed, right? They was telling me that, but I didn't listen. Are you listening? Because the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Bible says that. The Holy Spirit lives in us. You know, there's a point up here that I missed somewhere. And maybe I haven't missed it. I think I might have missed it. But anyway, it says the Holy Spirit is the sap that runs through our veins. The Holy Spirit is the sap that gives us life. It gives us eternal life. Right? If we are born again believers in Christ, then we have, just like that branch has the sap running through it, but if he takes it off, then it don't have the sap anymore, and what to do? It wilts and it dies. See, Judas was taken away. When Jesus sent him away, Judas was taken away. He had made his choice. And he was severed and he wilted. And literally he died without the life of the vine because he couldn't see his way out of where he was at. Thought life was not worth living. There are so many people that get so discouraged because they focus on the wrong things. But he says there, he's going to prune you. But you're going to bear fruit. He tells the other 11, he says in verse 3, he says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. This is Jesus' words. He says to abide in him. To attach yourself to him. Everything in life. John 15 verse 5 says it this way. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. There's nothing you can do as a human being to please God without the Holy Spirit living in you. Unless you are attached to that vine. Because he's the one that produces the fruit. Fruit is necessary. So necessary. If I just said I believed when I was 10 years old and I live my life however I want to from here on out, guys, that's not salvation. I'm no better than Satan himself at that point. Because Satan ain't going to obey anything Jesus says. Matter of fact, he's trying to trip us all up because we're God's special creation. And he hates us so much that he's willing to murder us if we will let him. And we've got to let him, really. Because if we choose life, if we choose it abundantly. So in this parable of the vine and the branches, did you notice that there's fruit, there's more fruit, and there's much fruit? Not everybody's going to produce the same amount of fruit. Your responsibilities are not my responsibilities, and my responsibilities aren't yours. Every one of us, again, in the parable of the soils, there's 30, 60, and 100 fold. Some of us is 30, some of us is 60, and some of us is 100, and some of us is all over the place in between there. Okay? So, there's got to be fruit in your life, stuff that you can see in your life that's going on. And I believe that those things change with time. If I'm a branch and he prunes me, I can produce more and more fruit. Pruning means he's taking the things away in my life that keep me from producing the fruit, the God kind of fruit that he wants. And part of that pruning is me knowing when I need to say, I messed up, Lord. It's really hard for us to say, I'm sorry sometimes and say it over and over and over again. We don't like to do that. So there's that place I was talking about. The Holy Spirit is the sap that gives us life in the vine. Guys, I'm telling you, we can know that we know. First John says that you will know that you're saved. It's not a, I hope so, and I get that so much when I witness to people. I hope I'm saved. I got baptized when I was 13 years old. I'm glad you was baptized. Let's examine. And then they usually might shut you down at that point. No, I don't want to examine. 1 Corinthians 13 or 2 Corinthians 13 says examine yourselves to make sure you're in the faith. He's talking to a church. He's talking to believers. In the Corinthian church, he says that you examine yourselves. It's not my job. Now if I see my son doing something wrong, that's against God, I'll probably point it out to him. Help him to examine, help him to see, do it in a loving way. I'm not very good at that sometimes. I'm just kidding, Pete, don't ever do nothing wrong. So there's two types of branches. The fruitless branches that are taken away, and the fruitful branches that bear fruit. More fruit, or much fruit. So examine yourselves. What's your fruit? What is fruit? Anyway, what is that? What is the fruit that we're supposed to be producing? I always go to this. I love this passage of scripture, but in Galatians 5:22 and 23, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I need to work on that one. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see any of that in your life? I need to work on long-suffering when I drive. Not very long-suffering in that aspect. John hears this all the time when we go to the jail because those guys relate to traffic stuff and cops, and you don't want to talk about cops in jail, okay? Bad, they're bad. But they serve a purpose, right? You know, driving to Jeff City this week, I had to set my cruise. Carol's really good to help me, but this week I went to Jeff City to a meeting, and every time I looked down, I was going 75. Well, that's what I run out here on I-44, but the other way, going the other way, it's just 65, by the way, and I'm going to get myself in trouble. I really don't want to end up in the papers that way. But do you have joy? Do you have peace? Do you have peace when you think about your eternity? And I completely have peace. If the Lord was to strike me dead right now, I have full confidence that I would go to heaven. And I would be face to face with Him and down on my knees. Maybe not face to face, but down on my knees, giving Him glory, because that's what I would do. I think that's the way I would respond. Am I working on long suffering? Am I convicted when I'm not long suffering? Absolutely. Am I kindness? Well, I have goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control, all those things. There's a passage of scripture in Proverbs that says that the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Church, let me tell you something. There's nothing in this world that you can take to heaven with you. Listen to me. There's nothing in this world that you can take with you other than another soul. And I'm going to know every one of them's name that I come across. I'll know every one of you guys, and that you attended Hillcrest February the 4th and listened to this message. And you can tell me then if it was good, and you can tell me then if it was bad, and I really don't care because I've done what the Lord told me to do. Win souls for Jesus. It's fruit. And use your patience, your long suffering, the joy and the peace. And when somebody says, you just handle this so well, you can say, because of Jesus. Because Jesus Christ gives me peace. Because I know Him as my Lord and Savior. Open a door and talk to them about your faith in Jesus Christ. If you have those things, you have them because the Holy Spirit lives in you. And He is working in you, and He's providing opportunities for you to win souls for Him. And we're going to be perfect at those when we get to heaven. I'm going to have every one of those fruits of the Spirit. All nine of them. I won't even forget one. Because every time I do it from memory, I count to eight. I think, which one did I miss? And it's a different one every time. Drives me crazy, and God keeps me humble. So I wrote it down so I'd get all nine. He says this, John chapter 15, verse 16 and 17. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should, what? Go. You're supposed to go and bear fruit. What's he talking about? Speaking the gospel. Matthew 28:19 and 20. Go therefore and make what? Disciples. That's what we're supposed to be about, church. You come here to get filled up. Now go out there and let it run over and over and over. Empty your bucket. Pour it out. Come back next week. Hopefully Pastor David will be here and you won't have to put up with me. But the fruit of the righteous, right? I want to be seen that way. Why? Look at the last verse in 15 to verse 8. Look at that, where we're going to end today. It says, by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. See, if we're not bearing fruit, then we're not disciples. And remember the fruit, the more fruit, and the much fruit. I don't know how much fruit you're bearing now, and I don't really know how much fruit I'm bearing. But I know that there's fruit. I know that I strive to bear fruit. Why? Because I tell myself when I'm not long-suffering, Lord, I'm sorry, help me. He said, I just provided an opportunity for you, and you wasn't, so repent, start again. Okay, Lord, will do. The next time I do better, the next time I do even better, and the next time I do even better, and the next time I might even do a little bit better, then all of a sudden somebody pulls out in front of me and it's like all over again. I'm plumb back over here. And the Lord says, okay, time to start over, little by little. I'm bearing fruit, folks, and I know it. Are you bearing fruit? Because fruitfulness is how you know that you're saved. And if you want to glorify God, this is what it takes, is to bear fruit to Him. Give Him the glory for what you've done. You don't get any glory. You don't deserve any glory. You didn't die for anybody. But it also says in the Bible that there's no greater love than this, than to lay your life down for your friends. See, I think I would do that. Paul demonstrated that when he prayed, he said, I would switch places with my fellow Israelite people if they could go to heaven, and I would go to hell. See, we get to that mindset, but that's not our choice. It's God's choice. Moses said the same thing when he was leading the children of Israel out. He would have swapped places with them. But it's because of the love of Jesus that dwells in you that you would do that. It's nothing to do with you. It's the love of the Holy Spirit. So examine yourselves today, church. Are you bearing fruit? Let's pray. As Steve and the band comes back up. Father, I just pray for this day. I pray, Lord God, that you would just help us this day. Father, to examine ourselves, to look at the fruit that we are producing. Father, I am humbled, but I'm also confident of where I stand with you. I'm a sinner that's saved by grace through faith, and that not of myself, that it's a gift of God. Father, I thank you for that gift. Yes, it's a gift that is given. But once we receive the gift and we receive the Holy Spirit and we connect ourselves to Jesus, and if we stay connected to Him for the rest of our lives, making Him the very center of our lives, Lord, then we will bear fruit. We'll bear much more fruit, and hopefully we'll bear much fruit for you over the life of our time here upon this earth. I believe there are seasons of time of drought and unproduction, but Father, there's also times of lots of fruit being produced in our lives. So Lord, I just pray that you would just help us during that time. Father, help us to look to you, pray to you, and Father, live for you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.